The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
The Nicole Sandler Show. Questioning authority daily. And that could be the very reason why YouTube is upset. Hey, YouTube. The music bed you hear beneath my voice is from a broadcast sound library that I paid for and have the receipts. So I've got your copyright violation right here. And now, here's Nicole.
Oh, it was just like a heart attack waiting to happen because everything was set up and ready to go, and all of a sudden I lost the feed from YouTube and Facebook Live. I got it back on YouTube. We are live on YouTube and on the NicoleSandler.com stream. Facebook and Periscope, not so much, but sorry, they were the casualties in trying to get us on the air reasonably close to the time we're supposed to start. Welcome to a Tuesday. You know, for a few years now, I have only been doing this show Tuesday through Friday. And it happened that way. I used to do 5 days a week. Actually, I did 2 hours a day since I moved this show online back in 2010. So we're talking, you know, over 10 years now. It was the night Air America Radio went off the air and I just moved the show. So I was doing 2 hours a day then, or a night, I guess, at the time. When I was diagnosed with lung cancer almost 4 years ago, actually 4 years ago next month, when I took time off for the to have surgery and then recuperate, when I came back just in time for the 2016 election, the Progressive Voices Network was just carrying the show 4 days a week and only for the second hour. So I decided when I came back that I would do it slowly and come back, just for the hours that Progressive Voices aired the show. So, you know, it made sense that way. Well, they're still just airing the show 4 days a week. I'm not sure if that's going to change or not when the program moves to 5 p.m. Eastern, the live program, hopefully sometime soon. I know if you're listening on Progressive Voices, you're going, what do you mean move to 5 Eastern? The show is on at 5 Eastern. The live show is on at 3 Eastern, and then I have to scramble to turn it around and get it uploaded so it can start on Progressive Voices at 5. It takes some extra equipment so they're able to pick up, carry the stream live, which allegedly is on its way to me now. And hopefully, when that equipment gets here, it will work flawlessly. Because, you know, that happens with me all the time when I get new technological equipment. Ay, ay, ay. Anyway, it's my ongoing cross to bear. Working through the gremlins that are currently in my studio and hopefully the move to 5 Eastern. So we'll be live on Progressive Voices. We'll go flawlessly sometime in the next few weeks. And then if I want to run long, I can. You know, we'll say goodbye to Progressive Voices at the top of the hour. But if we need to keep going, if we're in the middle of something, we'll be able to do that. And, of course, the podcast and the live streams will be the longer program. Anyway, I'm just thinking out loud, just letting you know what's going on here. But we are on YouTube, thankfully. If Paul is out there paying attention, maybe he can relay the stream to Facebook. Otherwise, Facebook, I'm so sorry. You can come over to YouTube or to the NicoleSandler.com. Listen live page, and you can still hear it all. Anyway, we were here yesterday, did a wonderful Monday music show with my old dear friend, Dan Navarro. And well, if you missed it, that's okay. My shows aren't behind a paywall. So you can go to the website, NicoleSandler.com, or go to my YouTube channel, which is easy to find. It's just simply YouTube.com/NicoleSandler. Yeah, I try to make it easy for you. And watch it there. Dan Navarro is just a wonderful singer-songwriter, and we had fun yesterday. Actually, went on for a while. So, here we are. It's now Tuesday, and we'll move on from the music. Until next Monday, we will do another Music Monday show next Monday, and another old, I wouldn't even say friend, acquaintance, friendly acquaintance, who is just a very talented singer-songwriter who is doing a song of the day, which usually turns into more than one song, online during this, you know, stay-at-home period. She's in Austin, Texas. Her name is Sarah Hickman. So Sarah will join us on next Monday. So just keeping you posted. All right, we got so much territory to cover today, so much going on. So let's quickly start with something funny, shall we? I'm going to play this one. It's not musically brilliant or anything. It just made me laugh out loud, which is the goal here, after all, isn't it? So, you know, I've been scouring the interwebs looking for funnies, something humorous to play for you at the beginning of the show, because, as you know, when we start talking about life in America in 2020, it gets serious, and it's not fun. So I like to start the show with something lighthearted and humorous, so at least we get at least one giggle in during the day. So today, the guy's name? Stephen, damn it. And I had it all ready to go yesterday, and Founders Sing released another video at the last minute. I wound up playing that. I'll get you his name for the end of it. His name is Stephen something. He's in Vancouver. He's just a guy entertaining himself and hopefully others through the pandemic by making funny videos. And so here's his. It's Stephen from Vancouver. And, enjoy. So there's Stephen.
Why are there so many
and Kermit
people without masks when they go out the door? Masks are for protection, but only when wearing them, keeping us safe and more. Though we've been told to keep our social distance, some people get too close to me. I don't want to catch it, the COVID infection, so cover your cough and sneeze.
Oh, don't do that.
Who said that everyone shouldn't be wearing them? I blame the guy who looks like cheese. He's always tweeting, his followers believing. I choose to trust Fauci. Fox News says we should be reopening. I think they're wrong, wait and see. Somewhere out there, someone's complaining about their freedom and liberties. Dum, 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 dum. I can't believe this is happening. Is this how it ends, or our new normal? And did we flatten the curve? Are we ingesting the bleach and the UV as told by the giant orange turd? I've heard it too many times to believe it, but science is not his cup of tea. But someday we'll find it, the vaccine for COVID, and maybe I can finally get some sleep. La 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 da 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 do de do.
The COVID connection. It's not quite Saturday Night Live, but yeah. So the guy's name, I just got to get his name from the video here. His name is Stephen Wolf. That's what it was. Stephen Wolf. The COVID connection. So as I said, I watched the video. You know, it had something like 14 views or something. This is a guy from Vancouver who did a great Kermit, right? But he was standing there, and it looked like his lips were slightly moving. And I'm thinking, is he a ventriloquist? And I actually emailed him because at the end of it, he has all this copyright information, and it's like, all right, I don't want to go ahead and play this guy's video without his permission. So I sent him an email, and he was very, very nice and wrote back. He's like, oh yes, please play it. And you know, he's just a guy who's sheltering at home in Vancouver, and he's making funny videos and asking people to, subscribe to his channel. So, Stephen Wolf is his name. I will put a link to his YouTube channel on my blog at NicoleSandler.com, where I post that video. But he's not a ventriloquist. I was thinking he's doing ventriloquism there, but he's not. He's just like concentrating on the puppetry of Kermit. And he pre-recorded the vocals, but it was a very good Kermit impression, even though he wasn't being a ventriloquist there. See, we're an equal opportunity purveyor of these videos. You don't have to be a remarkable musician. Just do something creative and fun that makes me laugh, and perhaps I'll play it. All right, thank you, Stephen. Okay, we got Laffy coming up. We got Amy coming up. I'll tell you what, we'll do what's news. We'll do the recorded version and get through it quickly. There's so much to talk to Amy and Laffy about too. So we'll do all of that, but we'll do the recorded version of what's news today. Okay, take it away, Nicole.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Now that the long Memorial Day weekend is over, the big question is, how many new cases of COVID-19 will emerge in the next 2 weeks? This is thousands of Americans flocked to newly opened beaches, often without regard for social distancing rules or other coronavirus safety precautions. Crowds packed beaches in Florida, Maryland, Georgia, Virginia, and Indiana, and Missouri's Lake of the Ozarks, among other places. Many people ventured out without masks, and others failed to keep 6 feet of distance between them, even as officials highlighted the continued importance of both to prevent another surge of infections. That surge is already happening in some places. Arkansas's governor said the state is experiencing a second peak after a deep dip in cases. And overall, cases are trending upwards in 18 states. And the nationwide death toll is quickly approaching 100,000. As of Tuesday morning, the count was 99,462. That's more than the number of U.S. troops killed in both the Korean and Vietnam Wars combined. So the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has released a new coronavirus testing plan, and it has some big promises. The Trump administration says it will buy 100 million testing swabs and vials by the end of the year and distribute them to states. The report also says the country should be able to perform at least 40 million tests per month by September. Still, the responsibility for how exactly all these tests will be carried out is left largely up to the states. Each state is also expected to coordinate tests for contact tracing, monitor asymptomatic carriers, and prepare for future virus surges, all while meeting federal reporting targets. The World Health Organization is temporarily halting a study on hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine as potential COVID-19 treatments due to safety concerns. The announcement from the WHO director, Ghebreyesus, followed a study published in the Lancet Medical Journal that said COVID-19 patients treated with hydroxychloroquine had a higher death rate than other patients. Donald Trump last week revealed he was taking the drug, which he has advocated as a preventative measure against COVID-19, despite FDA warnings against it. Well, a new White House travel policy begins Tuesday. It bars anyone who's been to Brazil within 14 days from arriving in the United States. Well, unless you're an American citizen, then it's okay. The new travel ban is intended to stop the spread of COVID-19. Which has surged in Brazil in recent weeks, with nearly 375,000 confirmed cases. That brings Brazil up to number two. Yep, the second highest number of nationwide cases after the U.S. The rising infection rate has sparked serious political strife in Brazil, especially since President Jair Bolsonaro has been largely dismissive of the seriousness of the virus, calling it a, quote, little flu, and downplaying its risks. The mayor of Manaus, Brazil, called on Bolsonaro to resign and said he should, quote, shut up and stay at home. Former Vice President Joe Biden on Monday made his first public appearance since the middle of March as he visited a veterans memorial in Delaware. The presumptive Democratic presidential nominee wore a mask while laying a wreath on Memorial Day, prompting Donald Trump to tweet something mocking the Bidens for wearing the masks. Opposite world indeed. By contrast, Donald Trump spent Saturday and Sunday on the golf course and on Twitter, where he mocked Stacey Abrams' weight, ridiculed Nancy Pelosi's looks, called Hillary Clinton a, quote, skank, and revived a debunked story alleging that Joe Scarborough killed a former intern in 2001. On the holiday commemorating the ultimate sacrifice made by Americans in war, Trump's lone tweet on the subject read, quote, Happy Memorial Day. Happy Memorial Day? Meanwhile, images of crowds without masks frolicking at the Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri over the weekend shocked people across the nation. Now, St. Louis County Executive Sam Page is telling anyone who was there that they should self-quarantine for 2 weeks or until they test negative for COVID-19. And he's asking employers to question workers coming back from the three-day weekend. In a statement on Monday, Page said, quote, This reckless behavior endangers countless people and risks setting us back substantially from the progress we've made in slowing the spread of COVID-19. So that was in Missouri. In Kentucky, a group of protesters gathered for a Patriot Day Second Amendment rally near the Kentucky State Capitol. To wrap up the event, the Patriots in attendance hung Governor Andy Beshear in effigy on a tree outside the governor's mansion. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and The Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button. All right, it's Tuesday. You know what time it is, right? wait a minute. Right? Oh, no. It doesn't want to play. Hold on. Let me play it from my other place. Seriously? Here we go. Let's try it again. It's Tuesday. You know what that means, right?
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with a laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Yes, every Tuesday we get together with our pal, Gotta Laugh, to kind of shoot the shit about what's going on in the news. So with no further ado, let's get Laffy on the line, shall we? Hello?
Well, yes, you've reached the Trump golfs while Americans die hotline.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? Okay.
Yes, press one if you think two golf terms that describe Trump are a-hole-in-one and putts.
Yeah, oh, the beeper's working today.
Okay. Oh, that's nice. Yeah. I couldn't hear whatever it was you played. It must have been the lead-in song, the jingle.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't hear that?
No. Nope.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
What else is new, right?
Yep.
Okay. Press two if you think Trump's so stupid that he actually believes playing golf helps him attract swing voters.
Swing.
I'm so sorry for that one.
It's okay. Sorry, we'll forgive
Press
you.
Press three if you think Trump said he combined golf and going to church by renaming his private club Our Lady of Lost Balls.
Or never had balls to
That's
begin
really
with.
Yeah. More accurate, yeah. Oh, my God. He's been absolutely, completely unhinged on Twitter. I mean, more than usual. Just so terribly, viciously, like, horribly, nastily deranged I can't even look at his tweets. They're horrible.
Yeah, and it started, I guess, with him going off on Joe Scarborough, calling him a murderer, accusing him of murder. And we know the story because we covered it. And it went back when Joe Scarborough was in Congress, and he was a congressman from the Florida Panhandle, which is, you know, lower Alabama, basically. An intern of his in Washington was, I guess, had a medical issue, and she passed out, hit her head on a table, and did something, and she died. She was found a few hours later. Well, of course, all the conspiracy theorists, you know, went on and talked about how, Scarborough murdered her. Well, he wasn't even in the same town as her. I mean, it's a ridiculous story that's been debunked over and over again. But for the last few days, Donald Trump has been tweeting things like the opening of a cold case against psycho Joe Scarborough was not a Donald Trump original thought. This has been going on for years, long before I joined the course in 2016, when Joe and his wacky future ex-wife Mika would endlessly interview me. I would always be thinking about whether or not Joe could have done such a horrible thing. Maybe, or maybe not, but I find Joe to be a total nut job, and I knew him well, far better than most. So many unanswered and obvious questions, but I won't bring them up now. Law enforcement eventually will. Yeah, so those were actual real tweets. I've had people tell me, please don't play his voice. You can read what he says instead of there you go.
Yeah, anyway. It is helpful to not hear it. Yeah. But besides that, before, I think it was before, or maybe, well, he's actually been tweeting about the Joe Scarborough thing over a period of days.
Yes.
But also the stuff about Stacey Abrams, the racist tweets about, he retweeted from that one account and calling, as I recall, Hillary a skank.
Yep.
I think you mentioned
yep.
that.
Yep.
You know, it was getting worse and worse. He was building to some kind of a crescendo. And he today, as I recall, he tweeted retweeted an image of a coffin holding Joe Biden.
Oh, my God.
I mean, just terrible. You know, it's one thing when he calls people stupid nicknames and, you know, it's infantile and it's deranged. But when he starts getting dark, this is getting really dark.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, be best, everyone. By the way, and I happened to see a little bit of Morning Joke this morning, and they were talking about this, and they read a letter from this intern's husband, this intern's widow. Her name was Lori.
I think I'm covering
Klatsoutis.
That. Yeah.
And her husband, her now widow husband, mm-hmm. Wrote a letter to Twitter's CEO Jack Dorsey saying, please, don't
I'm asking
stop
you to intervene
it.
In this instance, because the president of the United States has taken something that does not belong to him, the memory of my dead wife, and perverted it for perceived political gain. My wife deserves better. That's a little excerpt.
Wow.
That I was going to cover that. So you did it. So
right.
That's good.
And Twitter's response. Here's from a Twitter spokesperson. We are deeply sorry about the pain these statements and the attention they are drawing are causing the family. We've been working to expand existing product features and policies so we can more effectively address things like this going forward. That's bullshit. I'm sorry.
It's total bullshit. All they have to do is delete it.
Exactly. Those tweets can be taken down just like that, and they're refusing to do so. So I'm stunned. I'm just...
Yeah, no, it's just... I've been having nightmares lately that's, I'm sure, tie into all this horror story that we're living through. And I'm usually not affected like that, you know, by news. Usually it's something personal that will give me nightmares.
Yeah.
But I honestly think now it's from this barrage of horror story. Anyway, this just popped into the news alerts from CNBC. Prosecutors are closing investigations into stock trading activity by Senators Loeffler, Inhofe, and Feinstein.
Ooh.
But probe into Senator Burr's trading continues.
Okay. What, you're saying they're ending the other ones?
Yeah, it says, wait, let me get that up
Loeffler?
Again.
Loeffler, really?
Yep. prosecutors are closing investigations into stock trading activity by the others. Yeah, amazing. She should have,
Because Loeffler, I'm sorry, that sounded really, really fishy to me.
Same here. But, you know, there's always these little loopholes and these little ways of getting out of it. So she probably just had one of those.
Yeah, I guess. I suppose.
Anyway, you want to go into the last few tweeties that I do have?
Okay. All right. Let's let loose the birdies.
Yay!
Here they go. Oh.
Welcome to my tweet fest.
All right. So I can only imagine. I know the Twitters are buzzing about the Joe Scarborough stuff. I also know they're buzzing about the latest murder of an unarmed African-American man in Minnesota, this time by the cops. Did you have this story?
No, I don't. Wait, let me see. No, I didn't cover that because I'm limiting my tweets when Amy's on.
Oh, gotcha. So, okay, we'll talk about this when Amy gets on, because I have a video, and so I'll play it for both you guys. So I'm sorry, you go ahead. What do you have that Twitter is going on about?
Problem. This goes back a day or two, but it's something that I just really liked. OAN,
yes. One America News Network.
One asshole news network loses its defamation lawsuit against Rachel Maddow and will wind up paying her attorney fees. I love that they got nailed. They are so ridiculous that they would take her to court. It says there is no dispute that Maddow discussed this article on her segment and accurately presented the article's information. And then it goes on from there in the legal document. It says Rachel Maddow and MSNBC respond to nonsense. One American News lawsuit over noting that an OAN staffer also worked for an outlet affiliated with the Russian government with an anti-slap motion. So that's done with. They're gone. That was a waste of time and money and effort. Here's something from Jesse Ferguson, who... he used to work with Hillary her campaign as a national press secretary or deputy press secretary. Donald Trump lets you print a gun at home on your 3D printer, but won't let you vote from home to avoid the coronavirus.
Unreal. The whole vote by mail is fraudulent. The man lies every time he opens his mouth. What do people not get about that? I don't understand. And there's something that's really pissing me off. And I'll wait till Amy comes on to go into it because, So I'm sorry. Go ahead, Leffy. Keep going.
No, totally. Yeah. I'm with you on all of it. This just cracked me up. So Aaron Rupar, who I just love, he's on Twitter. He posts almost contemporaneous videos. So he live video tweets as the pressers go on and stuff. Well, he also covers the tweets by Trump, and this just cracked me up. He says, "I hope you find something you love doing as much as Trump loves tweeting about the Dow breaking 25,000 every year as if it's a monumental accomplishment." And then he has four tweets by Trump that basically say, "Dow just broke 25,000, only they're from like over the past year.
Every time it goes up, it dips down. When it comes back up again, he tweets about it like it's something new. Right.
Exactly. This is from January 2018. Dow just crashes through 25,000. Big cuts and unnecessary stock market had another good day, but now that the tax cut bill has passed, we have tremendous upward potential. Dow just short of 25,000 and on and on. I mean, it just goes on and on. I'm not going to bother reading his idiotic tweets, but it just struck me funny. Okay, so that here's something that's disturbing. Pandemic, this is from the New York Times opinion, pandemic could lead to outbreaks of measles and other preventable diseases. At least 25 countries suspended mass measles immunization campaigns. Other ancient diseases may gain a foothold as vaccination rates drop precipitously.
Lovely.
People are afraid to go to their doctors and or anti-vaxxers. So,
well, and I'll tell you something. I'm by no means an anti-vaxxer. I believe in vaccinations. I think they're necessary. They're what keep us healthy, right? However, the way they're rushing to get a COVID vaccine done.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. I don't think I'm going to be among the first people to run to the doctor to get that new COVID vaccination with limited testing. I mean, it usually takes a vaccine like 6 to 12 years to be developed and get on the market, and they want to rush one out in a matter of months.
Yeah,
sorry.
You know, it's funny that you said that because Mr. Laffey and I were just discussing how we would not take this vaccine until it's proved to be safe and effective. And this whole warp speed thing, I believe it was Lori Garrett last night on Lawrence's show who was saying, like what you just said, it takes years and years and years, and that this is not the safe way to do it. And do not give it the credence it's getting out there in the news.
Exactly.
So yeah, I want to drive that point home. This is from Mehdi Hassan. Is it Hassan or Hassan?
I think it's Hassan. But
Hassan. Yeah. Well, he quotes Jake Sherman quoting Mulvaney. Okay, Mulvaney says, "I would be completely comfortable sitting in a center seat on an airplane." We've overreacted a little bit, he said. Okay, so
Mehdi says,
when they say stuff like this, do they assume, rightly, that all their supporters are rubes and dumbasses? It's a virus. Of course distance matters. And on a plane, too. Also, the day we almost hit 100,000 dead, which they said wouldn't happen, is the day he says we've overreacted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Here's the one you and I were talking about.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to give you the tweet that we were angry about, and then I'm going to give you Parker Malloy's take.
Okay.
Terry Moran.
Moron. Sorry.
Moron.
Yeah. Terry Moron.
Terry Moron of ABC News tweeted with a picture of Biden wearing the mask.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this is a good look for a president of the United States?
Yes, I do, actually.
I do, too. Yeah, me too. Or do you think this is a bad look for a president
what
of the United
moron.
States?
What a moron. I'm sorry.
And then Parker Malloy said, everything wrong with mainstream U.S. political journalism in a single tweet.
Oh, absolutely. He nailed that one.
My God.
God is right.
Yes. Buck Satan on Twitter, just random. I think it's a sensible, responsible look. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It's what Trump's own administration has suggested you do.
Right. I'm astounded by the stupidity of that tweet. And I don't know who this Terry Moron guy is, but I don't know why he's still employed by ABC News. There are a lot
He is a senior national correspondent.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's been around a while.
Oh, my God.
So for him to do that, I mean, it's one thing to laughingly say that and then mock Trump for having tweeted about it, retweeted about it. He retweeted Brit Hume, and I remember answering Brit Hume and saying something like, okay, so now you're confirming that your priority isn't the health and welfare of the United States and its people. You're saying that appearance matters more.
Right.
And now this guy just confirmed it.
Right. And I love somebody else posted pictures of Macron and other world leaders all wearing masks and said, yes, this is what a president looks like.
Exactly. I saw that very tweet. Meantime, off that topic, because I want Amy to have a chance to actually speak. Julia Davis, because we could go on forever.
Yes,
you and
we
I could.
Yes,
you know. Julia Davis at the Daily Beast, she tweeted, and then I'll give you the respond. Texas, Georgia, Florida in running to host RNC convention if moved out of North Carolina, Pence says.
Yeah, right.
And so the shadow cabinet account says, perfect. Trump Abbott should reschedule RNC convention in a huge Texas pool with only bathing suits allowed, no masks, so lovers of liberty will be risking suicide and killing grandma. And then somebody answered, Dennis Kroski answered, how about a Carnival cruise ship?
Yeah.
So those are my tweets of the day.
Okay. All right. Well, if that's it for your tweeting, let's go ahead and assemble the goddesses, shall we? Oops. It would help if I turned this up.
Amy Simon of She's History. Got a laugh out of the carnival and into radio or not. And Nicole Sandler.
Hello. goddesses.
The Nicole Sandler Show on RadioOrNot.com combined the forces of Amy, Laffy, and Nicole to bring to you the Glibberal Goddesses.
And we are here. Hello, Amy Simon.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
We can see you. We can hear you. Well, we can see you, and that's all that matters,
okay,
because it's broadcasting.
I'll find you somewhere else.
Right. Don't.
Hello, yeah, my darlings. This is such a high point of my day, week, when we get together and Glibberally Goddess.
All right. So listen, I got a couple of things that I want to talk to you guys about. First of all right, we'll start with order of importance. Laffy, you mentioned Mehdi Hasan. And
yeah.
I saw he tweeted something yesterday that I pulled to the side because it pisses me off. So he wrote, "Can any journalist defend the fact that the U.S. news media has devoted more time and column inches to Biden's 'You Ain't Black' gaffe than to Trump in one night, retweeting images of Pelosi with duct tape on her mouth, Abrams being fat shamed, and Clinton being called a skank?"
I actually tweeted that because I added to it. I don't even remember what I said anymore, but I'm right there with them. They, I know what it was. MSNBC yesterday, Craig Melvin had devoted an entire segment to Biden's comment after, and that happened last Thursday.
Uh-huh.
So he's waited 4 days and did a whole nother segment on it. And I don't even think he mentioned what you just mentioned, what Mehdi mentioned.
And that's the thing. And then somebody else, La Voz del Norte 88, tweeted, "Next, consider Tara Reid." And it's true. This double standard really pisses me off. The whole thing about the "You Ain't Black" gaffe. Look, I came on the air just after that and was mortified by it and talked about it. And I blasted Joe Biden for it because I thought it was horrific.
Mm-hmm.
But the way the media has dwelled on this and Tara Reid now, after they didn't touch it for months and months and months, to the exclusion of Donald Trump's just reprehensible behavior from...
Well, not only that, but Biden apologized.
Of course he
did. So, all right already,
Yep.
Quit hitting a dead horse.
Right. So Biden, look, he's a gaffe machine. He always has been one. But they're zeroing in on this and the Tara Reid thing and going, I guess it's when there's only one, or in this case, two things to talk about, they can put all their energies on it. What Trump does is he makes a gaffe or a horrible statement like that every 20 minutes. So they can't cover all of it. And so because he does it all the time and there's so much of it out there, it all sort of cancels each other out and he gets away with all this crap and there's no scrutiny of him in the media like there is of Biden. And it pisses me off.
I'm with you,
Amy.
Well, if we could just pivot for a minute and talk about Black America. You mentioned the story about the Black man that was murdered in Minnesota by
yes.
the police.
Yep.
And I just want to tell you, I was watching the CBS Morning News with Gail King.
Yeah.
She broke down on television.
I heard.
Television
yeah, I heard
today.
She did. In
it
fact,
so
you know what?
Moving. I get emotional just she was so upset. And then we heard the story of the white woman in Central Park.
Yep.
Who pretended that, this nice Black man said, "Do you mind putting your dog on a leash?" And she called the cops and said she's being threatened.
Yes, and not only that, I'm sorry, she was abusing this dog. She grabbed the dog by the collar and just holding it up, and the poor dog's tongue is hanging out of his mouth. And thankfully, the dog was taken from her, and she was fired today, by the way.
Yeah, she was fired. And just now, coming over ABC News, is all four responding officers involved in the death of a Black man seen pinned down by police have been terminated.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. In fact, let me play for you. Let me play for you the video. Because we have not done that yet, and I do have it. Where is it? It's right here. Okay, so bear with me. I'm gonna put this over here and play it for you. What you're gonna hear is really disturbing, What you're going to see is even more disturbing. So for those of you just listening to the audio stream, we see a Minneapolis police SUV, a black man lying on the ground, and a police officer kneeling on top of him with his knee in the man's neck. And you, here's what happened. Here's the audio.
One of my homies died today. I'm about
to die in the seat.
Relax.
Man, I can't breathe my face.
I can't breathe.
Just get up.
Get off my face. I can't breathe.
What do you want?
Eric Garner.
I can't breathe.
I can't breathe.
How long y'all gotta hold him down?
This is why we don't do drugs, kids. It ain't about drugs, bro. Y'all understand
that? Nah, y'all don't gotta put y'all in
his neck, bro.
Right.
He is human, bro.
He's his nose.
What I'm saying is right now, bro. You know he's bogus. You can't even look at me like a man because you a bum, bro.
Oh my.
He's not even resisting arrest right now,
this
bro.
His nose is bleeding.
You just passed
stopping
out.
He's breathing right now, bro. You think that's cool? You think that's cool,
really
though,
not.
Right? What is that? What do you think that is? You so you call what he doing okay?
Get back
you
on the
call
street.
What he doing okay? You call what you doing? You call what he doing okay, bro?
Are you really a firefighter?
Yes, bro. I am okay. From Minneapolis.
Okay. Bro, you call. You think that's okay?
Pulse.
Check his pulse. Okay,
the fact that you guys aren't checking his pulse and doing compressions if he needs that. You guys are on another
level.
Oh, my God,
bro. Okay. They just dragged him.
Now he's unconscious.
I have your name tag.
Freedom of speech, folks.
Back on the street.
Don't touch him.
Don't touch
him. I got this all on camera. Watch out.
And so there it goes. So that was the stunning, just unbelievable video there. I'm astounded watching that. And, oops, hold on. So these bystanders, these people then got it on video, and you saw one of the women who was taping, and you hear the people yelling at them, check his pulse. What are you doing to him?
Yeah.
And so I'm glad to hear those cops were fired. I hope they're all charged with murder.
I hope so, too. I mean, you'd think after this happened, you know, and it was a huge national story, it happened, you'd think this guy would be smart enough not to kill on camera while everyone's saying you're killing him on camera. I mean, what? I don't understand.
It's horrible. So they took him away in the ambulance. He was obviously unconscious. And no, Gene in the chat room is asking, did he survive? He got to the hospital and he died. Those cops murdered him. There was no reason for that. He was saying, I can't breathe. Hello. Does that sound familiar
Eric
to anybody?
Garner.
Eric Garner.
Yeah.
All over again. It's sickening. I forget who it was, but a public figure noted this. It's like open season on African Americans.
Yeah.
It's just.
That's what Gail King
said. That's what Gail King
she
said.
So
that's who it was.
Heartbroken. She couldn't even, she had to like turn over the, you know, she said, take, you know, I'll turn it over to you. Like, I actually never saw such an emotional, you know, heartbreaking moment where she was so vulnerable. She just was like,
well, it's understandable. We watched those Minneapolis cops murder that man.
Uh-huh. And Elliot Stahl drew a line. I've got to find his tweet. He drew a straight, like he said, here it is. The line between Amy Cooper and the Minneapolis murder video is pretty direct. Not direct enough to make an attempted murder charge stick, but pretty goddamn direct.
Hmm.
And then he said, is there a betting pool for which white lady will best all the other white ladies to give Amy Cooper the racist rehabilitation interview all the networks are working on?
Yeah. And then I saw that. And then later on, he came back and he said, those of you who are coming to me with Van Jones, you're paying attention. So at least look, at least he went there, which I was happy for. Frankly, you know, maybe this will get people mad at me. I'm sorry. You know me. I speak my mind. The whole, you know, what white woman is going to come and give her an out really kind of pisses me off. Would you stop, you know, generalizing all white women? Not all white women are racist assholes. And I'm speaking for three of us here right now. Well, there are some of us who are pretty good people. Just saying.
No, I don't think he was getting, I think he was basing it on past experience.
I
that
understand.
Every time
yeah,
something
I,
like this
I get
happens,
it.
Yeah,
I get it.
I don't think he was generalizing it out to all white women.
I take it personally when I hear, there go those white women again. Like, I'm, you know, I get it, but you know, stop the overgeneralizations. It's bad when they do it about any group.
Prejudice.
It's prejudice.
The definition of prejudice.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk to you about vaccines because you were talking about that before.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you're familiar with the film Contagion.
No, but I see it's on. It's available on the streaming services, and I haven't watched it because, frankly, I don't want to watch any of them.
I don't either. I don't want to watch it.
Nicole, I don't know if I have you confused with Rachel Maddow right now, but did you ever have a Lori Garrett on your show?
No.
Okay, so she's an epidemiologist, and she's been on Rachel's show and other shows because she paints a very realistic picture of what's happening with this pandemic and the testing and, you know, the timeline of everything. And it turns out
she's the one I just mentioned that was on Lawrence's show last
night. Exactly, same person.
She's brilliant. And she was a consultant on this film, Contagion, which I happened to watch many years ago, and I never forgot it because it literally is what's happening now, except in the film, it's a lot more violent, there's looting. But the point about vaccinations, which I wanted to bring up because you discussed it, was they show how they scramble for a vaccination. And they try and they try, and it took them 57 times. The 57th vaccination worked. But it took 18 months or something like that. So I'm with you. I'm really nervous. I mean, I'm happy, of course, that they're scrambling, but that stuff needs to really be tested. So it's really scary.
It is scary.
I think what's really going to happen is that Trump is going to be saying, look at this. They're making these huge strides. And look, now it's ready to be, tested on human or whatever. Or it is being tested on humans. But, now it's ready to be, the next step, he'll say something like that. The next step is to get it out there. Well, it won't be anywhere near that. And all he's doing is using it for the news value so that he can win an election. It has nothing to do with the reality of getting the actual vaccine out there. I just can't imagine that that's where they're going yet.
And
I think it's just all PR.
I
think that they're trying to work on it. I think everything that they're saying, though, is PR value.
Probably.
I was just saying one of the storylines of the film Contagion was who gets the vaccine first and how it's distributed and how... You know, one of the storylines was one of the epidemiologists who flew into, it happened to be Minnesota, which was one of the first places, and she ended up getting really sick. So her boss, played by Lauren Fishburne, he's trying to get her out of there because she went in as part of the CDC, but they gave the private plane to some senator in Washington who, you know, needed it for something else. I mean, it just, there was so much in it that was so true and realistic and quite frightening about how it's predicted exactly what's happening now. So.
Which is one reason I don't want to watch it. It's too real.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I got to tell you something that happened last night. This is just such a sign of the times that we're living in. So I'm still on Facebook. Facebook and Twitter both serve different purposes for me. And I've resolved my, I still have issues with both services, frankly, but they are what they are. So last night I'm on Facebook and I see our friend Susan Smith, Laffy, you know Susan. She's a wonderful progressive woman in Florida. For years, she led the Democratic Progressive Caucus of Florida. She's just great. Anyway, so she posted something. It's like, I can't post that word on Facebook. Every time I post it, I get this message, and she posted the message that you've violated community standards or whatever, and so I can't post it. And I'm thinking, what word? What word could it be? And then I see in the comments, she wrote coronavirus. So this is a thing, and people were commenting on her thread that they couldn't either. They wrote the word coronavirus. And got that same, that the tweet was taken down. It said, you violated community standards. So I wrote coronavirus on Facebook and posted it. And I posted it, and frankly, I forgot about it, thinking that maybe it'll be taken down. Well, I'm falling asleep. And of course, I fall asleep early, and then I wake up at midnight, and I'm up for hours. So when I woke up at midnight last night, David's like, why did you write coronavirus on Facebook? I'm like, oh, because Susan said, you know, you can't go. He's like, people think you have the COVID. People are thinking you. And there's a long thread on there. It's like, oh, my God, do you have it? Are you OK? Tell me you're OK. And like there were, I can't tell you how many posts there were, people thinking that my writing coronavirus, I was saying I have it. I don't have it. I don't have it. I haven't been out of this house in months. But wow. Facebook let me write coronavirus and
so
didn't.
Why do you think that is? Do you think it's because of her reputation?
No, it happened to a lot of people, apparently, because people in both threads, after I clarified, I'm not sick, I'm okay, said, oh, that happened to me, too.
That's weird.
It was in their algorithms, and they must have tweaked it a little bit because it didn't happen to me. But, God, you got to be careful what you put on social media.
Neera Tanden has it.
Does she?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Yeah,
okay.
She said, and what's weird, though, I mean, she said that she's been really careful and that she's, you know, done all the things that you're supposed to do. But then she made something like, and I've been pretty careful. I can't remember her wording with my friend. Like, it sounded like she had socialized and maybe.
Uh-huh.
There was one little word that made me go, well, wait. So
yeah, like
was
pretty
there
careful.
It was,
right.
Mm. Yeah. That's my word. I can't remember what her word was, but I've been mostly, I can't remember, but I thought, well, here's somebody who is in the thick of, you know, everything politically.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think that you would be ultra super duper more than careful? I mean, I won't.
Neera Tanden, here's what she wrote. She said,
okay.
I have the coronavirus. I've been sick for a week and really, really fatigued with muscle pain. So far, thankfully, no fever and my oxygen levels are fine. But I was super careful, wore masks, carried hand sanitizer, haven't really socialized with friends. That's what you were saying. And then she wrote, I only went out for necessities and wore masks and did nature walks. This is obviously a very transmissible virus. People need to take a lot of care. And the idea we can just reopen is very scary. It is. You know, I'll tell you what, my daughter, you guys know Allison, she has been working for the last couple of years doing body piercing. So she pierces, she works at a nice tattoo shop in the town where we live. And she is the only piercer there. And she does, you know, ears and nose. But she does a lot of, like, noses and mouth stuff. And she's like, I'm not doing that. In fact, before they even shut down, she told her boss, I'm not comfortable. I have to get up in people's faces. And so today, she's actually up in the middle of the state now. She's visiting my older sister who's been quarantining at her house, but she lives on a lovely lake. And so Allison's up there helping her and hanging out. But she spoke to her boss this morning who wants her to come back to work. Apparently the shop across the street is open and Allison's like, I can't. She's like, even if I felt comfortable doing it, my parents are old. My parents are older and they're both in a high risk group. And she's like, I don't feel good coming back. I live with them. And so she basically quit her job today.
Well, good that she did that. Her health is more important.
And our health. I mean, she's more worried about us.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And here's something that crossed the wires. This is, I don't get this. Los Angeles rates of coronavirus have been going up.
Yep. They have.
I think there was even a notification today that said that.
I saw that.
And then I get a headline from the LA Times. Hair salons, barbershops can reopen now in stage 3 of Newsom's plan.
Oh, my God.
What the hell? I mean, LA is one of the hot spots in California.
Yep.
And in the nation.
See, and I thought I read that LA County was going to stay closed until September at the earliest.
That's what I thought. I don't understand it. It said LA County reports progress in coronavirus fight as hospitalizations drop, fewer people test positive. But I just read also that the numbers are up in LA. So I don't know what the heck they're talking about.
I don't know either.
Nobody knows what the heck is going on. It is so chaotic. It's just nuts.
Right. And now it's like write this week down because in 2 weeks and 14 days, we are going to see a spike in calls.
I have a list here. 20 U.S. states saw rises in, this is from Joyce Karam of the National, she's with George Washington University. She's a Washington correspondent. Anyway, cases went up last week, up from 13 to 20, include South Carolina, 42.4%, Alabama, 28.2%, Missouri, 26.9%, North Carolina, 25.7%, Maryland 20.8%, Georgia 20.6%, Nevada 20.3%, Wisconsin 17.6%, and Colorado 20.8%.
I'm surprised Arkansas wasn't in there, because Arkansas is like one of the hottest spots in the country right now.
Maybe it didn't go up that. I don't know why either. That's interesting.
But still, I mean, the second wave is starting to come through. All these openings are real. This is the worst time. I mean, now I think is when people like us stay home.
But it's not the second wave, because Lori Garrett said that this is still just the first wave.
Oh,
the second wave won't start until fall.
The fall. Wow. This is still a continuation of the first wave, because people stopped social distancing too early.
Oh, people are insane.
Have you two done any social? I mean, the three of us, I live alone. So I actually I'm lucky that I have a backyard. And I have had a few times I've had a friend come over in my backyard, and we're 6 feet apart and, you know, being very careful. But it's after this conversation of, you know, I don't know. Have you had any socializing like that?
Not me.
Just our sons, and they go into the backyard, and we stay a good, 6 to 10 feet apart minimum.
And it's just me, David, and Allison, and I haven't left the house. David and Allison will venture out to go shopping or run errands, but that's about it, with the masks and the gloves and the whole thing. I have, except to walk Jackson around the block, I haven't left this house since middle of March.
I haven't either, and I haven't even gone into a store. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, Mr. Laffey does all the shopping, and he doesn't even go anymore.
Right, David does all the shopping, and he goes, but you should see. I mean, he's serious about not getting infected and not bringing anything home.
Yeah, same with us.
There. I have been out there quite a lot. You know, I go to do my shopping, and I was online at Trader Joe's last week, and everybody online had a mask, but some guy came running by without a mask. Didn't seem to notice that I literally had to run away from him. And I also took a drive down by the beach just in my car to see what was going on. And just driving down there, you know, from through Santa Monica down to the marina, and lots of people out, social distancing.
I've seen the pictures.
I saw a police car pull over somebody that was on a bike without a mask. And I didn't know what happened, but I mean, I'm shocked. I know, Nicole, like half your show is you're stunned, you're astounded, you know, you're Nicole, so you are. But it's just mind-blowing.
It's mind-blowing. Seeing those pictures from the Lake of the Ozarks. Oh my God, are you kidding me? What is wrong with these people? You know, I don't usually wish death or, you know, illness on anybody, but these people deserve it. Clear out the low-hanging fruit. Let them all go party. You know what? Let the RNC have their meeting in North Carolina. Infect each other and die.
That's what that tweet said. It said, let them all go into a pool.
Yeah. They just need to stay there. They need to just, you know, stay together and then have a die-in. And leave the country for the rest of us. It's amazing.
Why isn't Trump on his deathbed? I don't get it either.
Don't get it either.
Because everyone around him is wearing masks. That's why. They're all protecting him.
No, he's up on stage all the time, surrounded
people
by people
aren't.
Without masks.
He should, by all rights, catch this virus. You know, he is the luckiest man alive. In every sense of the word, he's just been lucky.
And we're the unluckiest.
Oh, my God.
Because of him.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that.
So uplifting. Thank you.
We try. All right. Amy Simon, find her at sheshistory.com. She's History of the Most Dangerous Woman in America Then and Now. Gotta Laugh. Find her on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh. Both of them here on Tuesdays. And I will be back here tomorrow. Oh, you know what? Hold on 1 second, ladies. Bye, everyone. Okay, that made it easy so I can edit it to send it out to Progressive Voices. But very quickly, I want to talk to you about who I have coming on tomorrow. Because the Me Too stuff is, I think, important. But I also think it's dangerous. And this whole Tara Reid situation is an example of that. Well, the guy I have coming on tomorrow is David Silverman. And David Silverman was the president of American Atheists for like a decade or so. And in 2018, I think, he got hit with two Me Too accusations, and it derailed his career. He fought back. He said, these are fake accusations. They're not real. I guess his defense was acceptable enough, and another organization actually hired him. And then this other woman came forward and said, he touched me. He touched my sacrum. At a party, he put his hand on this woman's back, and she's screaming assault. And his whole life has been basically ruined. Now, I listened today to the court, the hearing, where the judge threw out this charge, this accusation, because it was bullshit. But you see how these three accusations in this guy's case, and he swears nothing happened, but how this can ruin someone's life. And so it's going to be a difficult conversation tomorrow, but that's what we're going to do tomorrow. David Silverman's coming on the show.
So that should be interesting. I'm sure you're going to get some feedback on that.
I'm sure I will. And you know what? I'm just going to ask the questions. I'm not taking a position one way or another. I wasn't there. I don't know. I just know that this has gotten out of hand. If men would keep their fucking hands to themselves and ask permission before they touch someone, this wouldn't be an issue. And if women didn't lie, you don't know who you can trust. And I tend to believe women. I believe Tara Reid. And now the more that comes out about her, the more I'm saying, this woman just it this is not adding up. We feel like we have to believe the women, because you need to believe women when they say they're attacked. Women need to stop fucking lying too. So this is a lot of gray area. There's no cut and dry here. So it's a tough one.
And you know, there's a documentary coming out about Jeffrey
Epstein.
I just saw something on this morning, and it looks like just mind blowing.
God, that's going to be sick.
About all the hundreds of enablers that helped him.
Yeah.
So, oh God, sickening.
Terrible situation. I don't know. I don't have an answer.
All right. Just so you know, tomorrow is going to be uncomfortable, but it's an issue that I think we need to address, because there's so much latitude for abuse here on both sides. So, you know, we'll tackle that tomorrow in addition to everything.
Well, good luck with that.
Gee, thanks. All right. Yeah. So we'll see you tomorrow. Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Laffy. Thank you, listeners.
Good to see you, girls. Love you both.
Bye, guys.
Love you too. See you next time. Bye.